السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. واعبد ربك حتى يأتيك اليقين. وقال تعالى: وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون. صدق الله العظيم. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: التائب حبيب الله. وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: علماء الكرام، most respected elders and brothers, and also our sisters who may be listening over receivers. It is the fazl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He has favored us with many, many bounties. Being present here for the Jummah Salah is a bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Being blessed with Iman is a bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Having had the opportunity to witness the month of Ramadan is a bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is something that we will continuously hear, being repeated and said over and over and again, that it is the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the reality, it is not something that is just said, out of some kind of custom. But the reality is that this needs to be firmly entrenched within our hearts, that we cannot do any good and we cannot save ourselves from any evil except with the help and the assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the quality of Anbiya alayhi salam, that whenever they achieved something, then they always attributed it to the assistance and the divine help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Never did they attribute it to themselves. If you look at the incident of Yusuf ala nabiyina alayhi salatu wa salam, so we know that he went through a lot of trials and tribulations and difficulties. And towards the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him a kind of honor, dignity, victory. But at that stage, the words that he uttered, وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ إِلَّا مَا رَحِمَ رَبِّي. The gist of that verse, that had it not been for the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I would never have been saved from the evil of my nafs. When he was confronted with the situation where the wife of the Aziz was tempting him, seducing him towards evil, and then she made a promise, had showed a determination before the woman of Egypt, that if he does not succumb to my desires, I will have him imprisoned. So he makes a dua. He says, قَالَ رَبِّي السِّجْنُ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّا يَدْعُونَنِي. Ya Allah, that prison which they are talking about, that is more beloved to me than disobeying you and displeasing you. But then he says, وَإِلَّا تَصْرِفْ عَنِّي كَيْدَهُنَّ أَصْبُ إِلَيْهِنَّ وَأَكُمْ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ. The gist of which, that Ya Allah, if you do not avert me and turn me away from this great test and trial and tribulation, I'm going to fall, I'm going to fail. And then I will be of those who are ignorant. I will be a jahil. Mufassirin mentioned that this is a sign that the person who is committing guna and sins, then it is jahalat. And the person who, it's a kind of ignorance. And the person who stays away from guna, then this is a sign of intelligence. So nevertheless, it is through the help, divine help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is why we say, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. That I do not have any ability to stay away from any, la hawla an ma'siyatillah illa bi'ismatillah, wa la quwwata ala ta'atillah illa bi'awnillah. That I do not have any ability to be averted away from guna and sins except through the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And neither do I have the ability to do any good deeds except through the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah is regarded, it's mentioned in the hadith, it is a treasure from the treasures of Jannah. It is a treasure from the treasures of Jannah. So this reality, and we repeat it over and over again. And in these bayans, you are going to hear many a times the same thing being said over and over again. Our late Hazrat Mohammed Yunus Patel Sahib, Rahmatullah Alayhi, used to say that we have to drink the same water every single day. The same water has to be drunk every single day. Nobody says that, you know, I'm getting tired and bored of the water. So now from the sky, flavored water must come down. So the same thing for our physical nourishment, we have to have the same thing over and over again. And for our spiritual nourishment, we are going to hear the same nasihat and the same advices over and over again. What was good for us yesterday will be good for us today again. So nevertheless, what you are going to hear here is not something new. It's something that you have been hearing over and over again. But it is the reality needs to come within our hearts. That is the most important thing. Today bayans are being given, but are we making amal and are we practicing? That is the most important thing. If we can come out from this talk or from a particular program, and we can make a firm resolution in our hearts and in our minds, that Ya Allah, this one guna and this one sin, I'm kicking it out of my life. Ya Allah, this one good deed, I'm now going to implement it in my life. Ya Allah, my life is melting away like a block of ice on a sunny day. I do not know how many days, how many minutes, how many hours are left of my life. And therefore, I need to now start changing my life. I need to start realizing what was the purpose for which I was created. So if this comes in a person's heart, then we can say that he has really benefited and he has taken something from the talk and from the bayan. Unfortunately, many of these programs has become entertainment. We go to a particular program, some naats, nazams, qiraats are being recited. We're going for entertainment purposes. Then after that, we'll sit back and comment, he spoke very well, that one was a good speaker, that one had a good point. How many of those points did we implement in our lives? That Naat Sharif that was recited, did it ignite within our hearts the ishq and love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? That is the most important thing. So respected elders and brothers, each and every one of us that is seated here, we have got an expiry date attached to our name. We have an expiry date attached to our name. Nobody will live in this world forever. Ek din marna hai akhir mote. Kar le jo karna hai akhir mote. Khaja Azizul Hasan Majzoob rahmatullah alayhi says, that ek din marna hai, you will have to die one day. Akhir maut hai. At the end of it all is death. At the end of all is death. Kar le jo karna hai akhir maut. Do what you want to do. But remember, akhir maut hai. The end of it all is death. Of course, the disbelievers, the mushrikeen, the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they say the same thing. That you have to die one day, so do whatever you can do. Commit as much guna as you can commit. Commit as much zina as you can commit. Do as much injustice as you can do. Because at the end of it all, you are going to die. And we say, do whatever good you can do. Whatever a'mal you can accrue. Whatever good deeds we can collect. So let us do it. Because remember, we have to die and then it is too late. So respected elders and brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed us with this month of Ramadan. And Allah ta'ala accept all our a'mal and ibadat that we had performed in that month of Ramadan. But one article our Hazrat Ma Yunusab rahmatullah had written, and it is available on the website, keeping the spirit of Ramadan alive. And this is the important thing, respected elders and brothers, that month of Ramadan, and this example Hazrat rahmatullah is to give, that month of Ramadan is to spiritually overhaul our spiritual bodies. And then he's to give the example of a vehicle. A person has got a motor vehicle, it is on the road, he's using it to fulfill his tasks and his needs. But then he takes time out, he sends that vehicle to the garage or to the panel beater to remove all the dents, to bring the vehicle in showroom condition, to overhaul the engine, to repair whatever needs to repair, or just to service and maintain the vehicle. So that is the purpose that he sends it there. It is confined, it is restricted to the workshop. And in that workshop, the mechanic or the panel beater is performing all his operations. And the panel beater, Hazrat Rahmatullah used to say, he's beating the panels. He's beating all the panel beaters, the panels, that's why we call him panel beater. So nevertheless, he's removing all those dents, bringing the vehicle in showroom condition. But now, so much of effort has been made. So much of money has been spent. So much of sacrifice has been made. Perhaps the person had to borrow somebody else's vehicle to move from point A to point B. So some kind of sacrifice he had to make. Perhaps he didn't have any vehicle to borrow. So perhaps he was walking from point A to point B. So there was a lot of mujahada and sacrifice involved. But now, when that vehicle comes out, remember, that vehicle is not going to stay in that garage or in that showroom. It has to come out. It has to be driven on the national highway. It has to go from point A to point B. It has to maneuver through the traffic. But now this person, if he takes the vehicle out, and now again he's reckless, again he's careless, and he knows previously, listen, I had an accident at a particular point, I was taking this particular bend, and this is what happened. So now, the sensible thing to do is that when he is taking that bend again, he is now more cautious. When he's driving that vehicle, he is even more cautious, he is even more particular. He's absolutely meticulous with regards to his driving. He's checking more and more that I do not want to damage this vehicle again. I've spent so much of money, I've made so much of sacrifices. I do not want to dent this vehicle again. So he is cautious, he is watchful, he is careful. What would we say about the person who then takes the vehicle and intentionally drives that vehicle into some wall? Or he intentionally takes a nail and he scrapes the vehicle from one place to another. Or intentionally he drives the vehicle in such a manner that he damages the engine. So we say this person, he wasted his time. He squandered all that effort. It was all effort in vain. And we can take it one step further. That we have another person who already, while the vehicle is in the showroom, he's already planning that, listen, when this vehicle comes out of the showroom, I'm going to take it and I'm going to smash it into a particular wall. So we'll say that person, really, there is something wrong with him. Just like that, respected elders and brothers, this month of Ramadan, Allah Ta'ala had given us this month of Ramadan, where we spiritually overhauled our hearts. We improved our spirituality. We experienced once again a closeness to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. We felt that closeness to our Creator, that Supreme Being who has been so benevolent and kind to us. We found enjoyment in the tilawat of Quran Sharif. We were crying before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We had now that himmat, that courage to stay away from guna and sins. And we had that firm resolution not to commit sins. We were controlling our gaze, we were controlling our tongue, we were restricting ourselves. Perhaps if we had the bad habit of watching certain programs on the television screen. So we said, the month of Ramadan, that is it. I'm going to respect this month of Ramadan. Now, respected elders and brothers, once we spiritually polished our hearts, now if we emerge from this month of Ramadan, and now we are not cautious, we know that at a particular place in our lives, a certain situation in our lives, we were faced with a certain scenario, and we made a mistake. Perhaps it may have been in our workplace, perhaps it may have been not controlling our gaze in a particular area. So now that is the place where we made an accident. That is a place where we spiritually damaged our hearts. So now once we've overhauled ourselves, respected elders and brothers, and I address myself first, that when we're faced with that situation again, we now need to be more cautious. Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah says, where the ground is slippery, even an elephant can slip. Even an elephant can fall. So we may have strengthened ourselves, but when the ground is slippery, when the road is wet, the driver has to be more cautious. We've removed those dents. Now we have to be very, very cautious that we do not fall into those same sins again. And may Allah Ta'ala forgive that person. But there are some people that even in the month of Ramadan, they are already planning that as soon as the month of Ramadan finishes, I'm going to remove that kafan from the television. And there is going to be, as Imam Yunus Sahib Rahmatullah used to say, life after death. Ba'ath ba'd al-maut, that television will be resurrected. New life will be blown back into that television. So now that person, what can we say? That was he really serious about the month of Ramadan? So respected elders and brothers, it is never too late until we are not late. Allah Ta'ala has given us these opportunities, these moments of our lives, at every single moment and every single stage of our life. As long as we have got zindagi and life within ourselves, the doors of tawbah and istighfar open. Of course, we are not of those pious people who have got that high degree of taqwa. But in the month of Ramadan, we were continuously listening to the lessons and the benefits of taqwa, restraining ourselves, Allah consciousness, and the benefits. The person who يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا, the person who adopts taqwa, Allah Ta'ala makes a way out from his problems. وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ, and Allah Ta'ala will sustain him from sources which he did not even fathom and imagine. وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ يُسْرًا, Allah Ta'ala will create ease in his affairs.
So respected elders and brothers, if we cannot reach that level, we are weak people, full of guna and sins. Then the least we can do, respected elders and brothers, is hold on to this beautiful quality of istighfar and tawbah. Istighfar and tawbah, every single day, make tawbah and istighfar to give up guna and sins. Regarding la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, which we had mentioned, one alim has written that the person who recites abundantly la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, then this is a alleviation, the barakat of his recitation of la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Allah Ta'ala will alleviate and remove from his life 70 different kinds of difficulties, the least of which will be poverty. And there, under the commentary, is written that a particular person, he is trying to give up guna and sins. He is making an effort to give up a particular sin. Perhaps he cannot control his gaze, which has become the most common sin. Unfortunately, everyone seems to be involved in this guna. Whether it's the doctor, whether it's the lawyer, whether it's the hafiz, whether it's the alim, whether it's the mufti. It's a very easy guna to commit. You don't have to spend any money. And that is why Hazrat Wala, so much of emphasis on this one guna, controlling the gaze. Control the gaze. Four actions he used to mention. Control the gaze, control the heart and mind, keep the pants above the ankles, and keep the sunnat beard. These four actions. Very difficult in today's times. But a person who can control his gaze, it becomes easy for him to give up other guna and sins. Becomes very easy. So this guna, if a person is making an effort, he's trying to give it up, but he just can't seem to give it up. Of course, he should spend time in the company of the Ahlullah, of the pious ones, and then that Allah Ta'ala will give him the courage to give up that sin. But even after that, he still can't seem to give up the sin. Then one little prescription that is given is that after every faraz salah. Now this is a prescription that is given, not something faraz. So this prescription that is given is that after every faraz salah, 7 times the person should recite La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Inshallah, with the barakat of this recitation, Allah Ta'ala will give him the himmat and the courage to give up guna and sins from his life. Respected elders and brothers, this is the solution to our problems. The solution to our problems is giving up guna and sins in our lives. And we shouldn't look far. Look within our own lives. Sometimes we want to change the entire ummah. But have we changed our own life? As Mu'ayyun Sahib Rahmatullah used to say, that we talk about the rise of Islam. We talk about the rise of Islam, yet we only rise after the sun has risen. Yet we only rise after the sun has risen. Fajr time, the person who is talking about the rise of Islam, Fajr time, what is happening? He cannot answer the call to success. Allah Ta'ala is calling the person to success. That Allah who blessed us with so many bounties, that Allah who gave us, is showering millions of bounties upon us every single second. Now he is saying that, come, show me your appreciation, one small form of appreciation. I want to see that you love me, little sacrifice you can make for me. Come to the masjid and stand before me. Show me your obedience, show me your abdiyat. At that time, the person is sleeping. So unfortunately today, we are not prepared to change our own lives. And we are not prepared to give up sins and guna. Until we do not give up sins and guna from our lives, respected elders and brothers, we are never going to find peace, tranquility, serenity. Jalaluddin Umi Rahmatullah gives the example of a person who has got 100 thorns stuck in his body. Now obviously this person is never going to find comfort. He's always going to be restless. Until he doesn't remove the last thorn from his body, he is not going to be at peace. This is the condition, respected elders and brothers, within our own lives. That until we do not give up sins and every single sin from our life. Every single sin. Then we should make this dua that, Ya Allah, let it be such that I do not die except I have given up every single sin from my life. And we should make this dua that, Ya Allah, let every single breath of my life, let every single second of my life, let every single blink of my eye go in your obedience. What has Allah Ta'ala given us life for, respected elders and brothers? Allah has given us life to prepare for the akhirat. Jisne sar baksha usse sar kashi zeba nahi. Hazrat Wala mentions that Allah who has given us our head, in other words, that Allah who has blessed us with so many bounties, how can we use those bounties to disobey Him and displease Him? How can we use those bounties to disobey that Allah who has been so kind to us? If we give somebody a gift, And then the person takes the gift. And then he abuses the gift. Or he takes the gift and he starts damaging the property of the giver of that gift. He hurts the feelings of the giver of that gift. What will we say about that person? This is our condition, respected elders. That Allah who gave us strength. That Allah who gave us our hands. That Allah who gave us our eyes. When we use our eyes for His disobedience, we are being ungrateful to the giver of those bounties and those ni'mats. May Allah Ta'ala give us the courage and the himmat to give up sins from our lives. And after the month of Ramadan, this must be our fikr, that how we can protect and make hifazat of the wealth that we have accumulated. This is true wealth, respected as in brothers. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned in one hadith that everything you will leave behind you. When you leave this world, your wealth will stay behind, your children will stay behind, your wife will stay behind. But what will go with you will be your a'mal. Your a'mal will travel with you. Now a person has to ensure that he protects his a'mal. What is happening today is that we are doing good deeds, but together with doing good deeds, we have opened the door of guna and sins in our lives. A person is collecting the water in a bucket, but he makes holes in the bucket as well, at the bottom. He said, no, I'm not prepared to cover these holes. I'm very fond of these holes at the bottom of the bucket. I'm addicted to these holes. I'm addicted to these sins in my life. I'm not prepared to give up these sins. Until we do not give up those sins, all the noor that is being accumulated is being lost. And again, that example that you have heard, Hazrat Wala, Hazrat Shaki, Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, Rahmatullahi, was traveling in a vehicle. And he was with his Shaykh, Hazrat Shah Abra al-Haq Sahib, Rahmatullahi. Very, very hot outside. He said, put the air conditioner on. So the driver said, the air conditioner is on. Why is the vehicle not getting cold? Perhaps somebody's window is open. It just so happened that the window was open. As soon as the window was closed, immediately the vehicle became cool. So Hazrat Shah Abra al-Haq Sahib, Rahmatullahi, beautiful example he cited on this occasion. He said, you see, the window of sin was open. The window of sin was open, and that is why we were not experiencing the coolness of the air conditioner. The air conditioner was working. But we were not feeling the coolness of the air conditioner because the window of sin was open. Our window of sin through our eyes is open. The window of sin through our ears are open. The window of sin through our heart and mind remains open. And then on the other hand, we are performing salah, we are making tilawat of Quran Sharif, we pass through the month of Ramadan. But until we do not close this window, we are not going to experience that ruhaniyat, that serenity, that tranquility. And that is why today, an all-out effort, Hazrat Ma Yunus Sahib, Rahmatullah, used to say, that just do one thing, give up guna and sins. Give up guna and sins. We are not asking that you should perform 1,000 rakats of nafil salah, or every day recite 2.5-3 paras of Quran Sharif. But give up guna and give up sins. That is the greatest effort that we have to make today, each and every individual. And this is one thing we can take from this bayan, that let me look within my own life. We have a habit, when the bayan is being given, we say, I hope that so-and-so person is here, I hope he's listening to the bayan. So we are pointing a finger at another person. Remember, when we are pointing a finger at another person, we've got fingers, more fingers pointing to our own self. Al-mu'minu mir'atul mu'min. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, a believer is a mirror for a believer. That when you see the weakness in another believer, that perhaps I have got the same weakness. This is one weakness that has become exposed to me. There are 10 weaknesses that I have within myself that Allah has concealed. So when you look at the weakness of another, you should realize that you too have weaknesses. And each individual should focus on his weakness and make an effort to eradicate one weakness after the other. Close one window of sin after the other. And then, respected elders and brothers, you will see within your life, Allah Ta'ala will bless us with serenity, with tranquility. And if the ummah holistically, on a macro level, if every single ummati makes an effort to give up guna and sins in his life, then Allah's promise is that Allah Ta'ala will restore the dignity and the honor to the ummah of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We should consider the suffering of the ummah in Palestine and in Gaza, in those areas, as a result of our weakness. Their suffering is a barometer of the condition of the ummah at large. That is their level of mujahada. Look at their loyalty to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That they are prepared to sacrifice their lives. They are prepared to sacrifice their lives for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Are we prepared to sacrifice our evil desires for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are sacrificing their lives. We cannot sacrifice our evil desires for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us, in our small way, let us also make some effort within our own lives to sacrifice those evil desires. Put that knife on the nafs. Make qurbani. Qurbani will be coming soon. Make qurbani of the evil desires. Let the blood of the evil desires flow on the heart. Let the heart be shattered into a million pieces. At least on the day of Qiyamah, you can say, Ya Allah, I have shattered my heart into a million pieces for your obedience and for your pleasure. Ya Allah, this is all I have brought. I have brought a broken heart. I have shattered my heart into pieces. I have bribed my heart in your obedience and your love. At least that's the least we can do for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala grant me first the ability to implement these qualities within our lives. May Allah ta'ala restore the dignity of the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah ta'ala not look at our sins, but may Allah ta'ala look at the tears of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah ta'ala look and consider the blood that was sacrificed for the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The tears that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shed for his ummah. The love that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had for his ummah. Allah must not look at our amal. Allah must consider those blessed and those precious tears and those precious drops of blood that were shed for the sake of this ummah. May Allah ta'ala give us the realization that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved us, and the least we can do is display our love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by implementing the sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam within our lives and leading a lifestyle in accordance to the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.